Fans, don't forget it is Father's Day weekend. It's the beginning of summer as well. Pave Fine Jewelry, P-A-V-E, Pave Fine Jewelry. Michael Enlick is the best jewelry designer in the Bay Area. I love this stuff. And if it's for mom or dad, whoever it may be, but especially on Father's Day, a nice ring or something like that for dad would be absolutely terrific. Nobody designs jewelry like Michael Enlick. Pave Fine Jewelry, check them out on the web. Of course, as things open up a little bit more in Alameda County near Berkeley, you'll be able to go to the store and see Michael and everything else. But right now online, pavefinejewelry.com. Joining us now, we call him Extra Bags. He's the leading loquat farmer. Did I say it right? I think it's loquats in San Mateo County. Really, just a pleasure to talk ball with Andy Baggerly. He's a senior writer. I'm going to make you a senior writer. Why not? For The Athletic. And we hear him on KMBR all the time. I got to hear him yesterday with Greg Papa. But Extra Bags on Twitter, and always a pleasure to talk ball with you, Andy, or anything with you, really. How are you?
Hey, Marty. And so it's officially not loquat season anymore. They're pretty much done, but we're moving into vigorous plum season, and I'm about to have a half a billion plums on my hands. So if you want a bag, I can bring you some. I will say that cufflinks make a fine Father's Day gift.
Cufflinks?
Well, maybe a nice tie tack, although I can't really think about putting on cufflinks or a tie tack. I literally did the math, and I put on a belt once since March 17th.
You know,
All elastic for me, and it's wonderful.
It's so funny you said that. I thought of that the other day. I think it's three times for me since March 9th, the day we were at Cubs and Giants. Cueto gave up 7 runs in the second inning. That was it for me until maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, when's the last time I put on a proper pair of pants? I am all about the athleisure, Marty, all about it.
Andy, where are we now? I know, look, Bob Nightingale, Jeff Passan from The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal, Evan Drelick, everybody is on it, Barry Bloom, you name it, everyone's got an opinion. Where are we in this thing? It looked like we were going to have baseball. The games are only a certain amount apart. It looks so simple. And all of a sudden, Florida and Arizona are now major hotspots, and players are testing positive down there in spring training facilities. And I just get the feeling the brakes are on. Where are we?
Well, it's hard to say, Marty. And no matter what you're able to come to in terms of the timing of an agreement, the financial structure of an agreement, all of the health and safety protocols, no matter how fast they were able to agree to something or not agree to something, as the case may be, this was always going to be the scenario. We were always going to be sort of at the mercy of the ebbs and flows and the wobbles of this virus that we still don't know so much about. Like you mentioned, we've got Phillies players testing positive. We've got the Blue Jays camp, the Giants camp, are shut down on Friday, which we first reported. So, it's going to be very, very difficult, I think, to see how they can play games under this environment, what all the protocols are going to have to put into place. We can't lose one person. I mean, it's just not worth one person losing their life over this, over playing baseball. And we're not talking about, okay, the players are healthy. Yeah, they're young. Well, we've seen weird things happen with this virus, and we know that these are people who go home to families, and they may have compromised family members, or they may have immunocompromised, coaches or people who have had medical procedures, and that's still what we have to get past. But that's hard to talk about because we really don't know. What we can talk about and go back and forth on is what the negotiations have looked like to this point. And, who looks bad? Both sides look bad, but the owners, I think, look especially bad now. And what's next is probably the sort of by fiat implementation of the season by Rob Manfred and by the owners. And we'll see if they even do that, because from what I understand, there are some teams that are just really freaking out about the possibility of the players filing a grievance And if they're freaking out about it, then you know that they would lose it or be very expensive. And the other thing that I was told by someone in the know is that they don't even want to get involved in the grievance process because they'd have to open up a lot of their financials, which they desperately do not want to do. So, you know, yeah, there's just a lot of things in this right now, but obviously none of them are none of them have 100% stitches on.
No, it's going to be Andy Baggerly with us at Extra Bags, of course, writes for The Athletic, and one of the best, really, on any subject. But, you know, here's where I see it. Baseball just can't throw their hands up in the air and say, okay, no season. We've had some minor leaguers or some major leaguers test positive at our facilities, so we're done. It can't happen. So at some point, they're going to have some spring training. They're going to have to go through it. And if they're going to cancel a season, they're going to have some basis for it. Because the players are going to say, well, if you would have dealt with us in June, we wouldn't be here worrying about canceling 50 games. We could have been, you know, playing 40 games already, and we would have even more of our salary. So that's where the grievance comes in. So at some point, baseball is going to have to set the amount of games. And that's probably going to be, as you say, unilateral. And there won't be a compromise on giving up the grievance, because the grievance will still be alive, even if baseball throws their hands up and, in my opinion, says, well, we can't have a season. Well, if they would have bargained in good faith 6 weeks ago, maybe they could have at least gotten some of the season in, and the players could have gotten some of the money. So I think that's coming. But at some point, they're going to have some scientific evidence that baseball can't be played and it's not safe for the players, other than a few test cases that are happening in minor league facilities, at spring training facilities. Does that make any sense? I mean, I thought it through. I'm just trying to be a lawyer about it.
Yeah. I've just tried to see all sides. I mean, if you try to take the owner's position, if I'm an owner, for me, what I'm thinking is the worst case scenario is, okay, we agree to 70 games or even 60 games at full prorated salaries. They say they're going to lose X amount of money for every game that's played, but they hope to make it back with postseason television. Well, you know, there's a big flare-up. They have to cancel the season. They get through most of the regular season. They've taken their losses, and now they don't have the postseason to help them make it up because the virus won't allow it. And you could even say, well, you know, if they operate without this NBA structure, without having players in a bubble, you're really relying on the players to be responsible and to socially distance and stay in the hotels on the road and do all that stuff. If the players don't agree to be sort of quarantined in a bubble, the owners are really putting a lot of faith in the players to do that. And I'm not sure exactly. I'm just watching pictures of people, you know, walking into this Trump rally in Tulsa. Not to say that all ball players are Trump supporters or are going to be irresponsible like that, but there are a lot of people who just aren't doing the responsible thing right now. So I don't know. Maybe I'm sort of meandering around a little bit in answer to your question, but I think there's a lot of ways to look at this. And there's a lot of faith that has to happen on both sides. And right now, I think we've seen just a complete lack of faith on both sides in the other party.
Mm. Andy Baggerly with us. Greg Papa texted. I love talking to Pop during the week. And he texted me and asked the question that you wrote about. And you with the Mark Saxon and a couple of other colleagues went through all 30 major league teams. And it's a great, great article about the power brokers and who calls the shots for each major league team, and also the history of the ownerships. It is on The Athletic. It's really good. And Pop sent me a text, said, who's calling the shots now? This is earlier in the week. And I sent back a text. I said, well, maybe Jerry Reinsdorf may be doing it. Of course, in the old days, O'Malley with the Dodgers would be doing it. But you tackled this one. Is there an answer? Is there someone in Major League Baseball who is the power broker these days?
You know, it's a great question. I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear the inner workings and who the people are that have the loudest voices. You would imagine they are the biggest market teams. You imagine they're the biggest revenue teams. You know, the teams that pay the most into revenue sharing, you'd have to imagine that they're given a louder voice. The Steinbrenners have obviously been around for a long time, Hal Steinbrenner, but he's not quite as bombastic, obviously, as his father was. I would love to know who are the people who are pounding their fists on the you know, walnut lacquered conference table, you know, or shouting across their nicely wood paneled study. Who are the people who are really the hardliners here? I would love to know. I do think, and I said this on Greg's show the other day, you know, the people who maybe are a little more leveraged, who probably have more of a cash flow issue, I would imagine are probably more afraid of losing money in the near term and maybe are being a little more hawkish here. That's just to my mind who may be the loudest, but that's just a guess. But even so, you know what? They just signed a $1 billion TV deal with TNT or whatever to do postseason baseball for years and years. Couldn't they have gotten some of that negotiated up front and disperse it to the teams? Couldn't they waive the debt service rule, which they've allowed teams to have loopholes out of a billion times, and allow teams who have made thousands and thousands of percents of gains on their initial investment to borrow a little bit off of the massive amount of equity they have in their franchise? I mean, we're not talking about an industry that is going to be ruined by playing an extra 10 games. So, you know, if the problem is they're saying in the near term they don't have cash flow, and to me the most reprehensible thing was in one of those statements that I think it might have been Dan Hallam, I don't quite remember, but they basically said that, the more teams lose in the near term, the more people they're going to have to lay off. It's like, don't hold your people who sell your suites and are your ushers and are your game day employees and the people in the PR department and all that. Don't hold them hostage in front of the players and tell them you're going to make us fire more of these people. That to me was just gross.
Mm. Boy, what a story. What a story. Who saw this coming after the World Series last year and Howie Kendrick hits a big home run? Who saw this coming? Amazing how the world
but
turns.
I'm glad you liked that. I'm glad you liked that piece. That really came together quickly. I did have the initial idea. I thought, I would like to read, who are these 30 control people? Because there's a designated control person for every team. Who are they? We talk about the owners. Who are they? Let's put some faces out there. Let's put some pictures out there so you can see what they look like. And when you collate it all together, and this went from concept first broached on Tuesday to a very comprehensive 8,000-word catalog that was published with an amazing amount of editorial work. Claire Nolan and others in our office just were just total heroes putting this thing together. And now you've got the whole thing. You can look at it, and there's 30 people. Guess what? They're all male. They're almost exclusively white male, depending on how Artie Moreno self-identifies. And you can see how they made their money, whether it was inherited or self-made or what line of business they were in or how they got to this station in life. And, it kind of reinforces this whole notion of the power structure being what it is, both racially and from a gender perspective.
Yeah, it's great. As soon as I am able to buy more printer paper, I'm going to print it. I'm going to need about another 300 sheets, but I think I'm okay with what I have. It's comprehensive, but I'm printing it out. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep it because it is good stuff. All right. If we ever get to baseball, the rules are going to look a little different. Maybe a tie game, extra innings starting with a runner on second base. The DH is coming. We know we're going to get the relief pitchers got to face three batters. If there ever is baseball, you know something, Andy? It's going to look different.
Yeah, it will. And I think it would be responsible for them to whack the three-batter rule and just say, let's move that back. Let's not institute that right now. Because you got pitchers who are going to be ramped up really quickly. And, I think that it's going to be, as much as they think it's going to speed up the game, I think from a health standpoint, it might be smarter if they just let that one go for now. I've not heard anything to that effect that they will. But apart from that, you're talking about, games that last 12 innings or longer are going to be called ties, or they're going to start extra innings with a runner on second, all these things that they've talked about. It does sort of work in the Giants' favor because not only do you get a smaller sample size of the season And like Farhan Zaidi said, you know, they went 19-6 in July last year. That's like half the year now. So, you know, between that and knowing that, you know, they'll have a larger roster, they do have the kind of personnel that they can platoon a ton. Pablo Sandoval will be healthy, Hunter Pence, you know, can DH. They could even have Joey Bart DH and Buster Posey play catcher or vice versa. Between the larger roster and the way their pitching looked this spring, they think that they could be pretty good. And, you know, of course, you can argue how much of a season, how legitimate it would be or how many games it would take to consider it somewhat legitimate, or if you just throw it all out and say, you know what, let's just get weird and watch some baseball and have fun and not worry so much about whether the quote-unquote best teams make it. Let's just enjoy the show for what it is. That's the way that I think I would look at it.
Yeah, but I think it's like going to a movie, and you're just going to say, okay, let's see what this movie is all about. And you may be pleasantly surprised, you may not be, and we'll see how it is, and we'll see who trickles into the movie theater to watch it. And not many fans, I'll tell you that, but we'll see what the eyeballs look like on TV. But
Drive-in movie, Marty.
Right. All right. Hey, great to have you on, as always. I appreciate it. My feeling is the Giants are in good shape. I think Farhan will make a million moves. I think they've got 20 coaches. I think they've been working hard all spring and now the beginning of summer. I think they're going to hit the ground running. The only question is, are they going anywhere? And that's the big question. But I think they're in decent shape. I really do.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a development year, so the fact that the kids on the farm won't be able to really get the kind of development time anywhere near what they normally could obviously sets them back a little bit. Every team's in that boat. But I think it's much more damaging if you're the Dodgers and you're losing a very, very affordable year of an MVP player like Cody Bellinger, because some of these players aren't getting their service time. Regardless, or you're losing what maybe your only year of Mookie Betts that you just traded for. To me, those are the teams that are really kind of, from an organizational perspective, losing the most. And the Giants, we didn't really expect them to be, you know, very entertaining or very competitive this year. Now all of a sudden, you start to see a scenario where they could be interesting and competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you know, they're not going to do anything to, you know, they're not going to trade the Wheelers for the Beltrans to try to make a run at it this year.
Yeah. But,
you know, they wanted to try to win and develop at the same time, and this year may actually give them an opportunity to do that in some form or fashion.
Yeah, they're ready. They're ready. They are ready to play. Now, whether the players will be ready is another story. As an organization, they are ready. They've done enough video games. They're actually ready to play a game. They're ready.
Okay. I'm looking forward to covering Gabe Kapler as a manager and seeing just how he manages a game. I mean, you know, it seems like a million years ago that he was the choice to manage, and it's kind of funny that we're sitting here now, and the last game that I covered that meant anything was at the Premier 12 tournament at the Tokyo Dome in November. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some games, too.
Yeah, aren't we all? Andy, thanks so much, as always. Be healthy, and plums, loquats, I'm waiting for kumquats. Those I like. But we miss you, and who knows if we'll see each other, even if there are games. I'm not so sure how it's going to affect you and I and the media and all that. But we will be in touch, and it's always fun to catch up with you. Seriously, I love listening to you on the radio and also reading you in The Athletic. You do a great job.
Well, thanks, Marty. And you've given me some good bottles of wine over the years, so I'll give you some homemade plum wine next time I see you. Might not be just as good, but it'll get you even drunker.
Priest Ranch wines. Okay. All right. When I see you, hopefully I'll be able to give you a bottle. Take care, Andy.
Okay. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Extra Bags, Andy Baggerly from The Athletic. Boy, a pleasure. Just a pleasure talking with him. All right. More coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.